Thanks for listening to Leadership Level Up. I'm Brian Prairie.
And I'm Dr. Jeff Williamson.
I am just starting my leadership journey.
And I've been guiding leaders for 30 years.
Our podcast aims to shine a spotlight on outstanding leaders and provide a platform for them to describe their leadership journey and share the guiding principles that have helped them become great leaders. In today's episode, Bill talks about mentors he's had throughout his career and how grace has been a big piece of his leadership journey.
Welcome again to Leadership Level Up Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Williamson, and great to have you with us. Today, we have my friend, Bill Gertine, who has had many conversations with me. They just haven't recorded a lot of them. And so you'll learn more about Bill here in the process and talk about his career in sports sales and radio and communication. There's lots of good stuff to talk about. So welcome back, Bill. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Sure. So one of the things that we always like to lead off with, especially with our focus on leadership, is to ask our guests, who were some key people early on that were leaders that you admired, emulated, that really kind of gave you some focus to say, I like the way that she does that or he does that. Who might be some of those leaders that come to mind?
Well, you know, I'd have to really start with my parents, as they did. My dad especially, who was a stockbroker for many years here in town, he allowed me to fail so many times on so many different levels, and also saw the opportunity to invest in me when he could. I had a t-shirt business in my dorm room in college.
I love that.
That he invested in the iron, the actual
heat press. To do the press.
So, to do that. And so it was something that he saw promise in me. When I wanted to be a mobile DJ in town, back when vinyl was the only thing you could spin.
Literally spin it.
He was, that's right. He said, I will invest $2,000 in this system.
I believe
in
you.
But you will need to pay me back everything you earn up until it's paid for. So he was my first bank, essentially, in terms of a loan. And so he saw that giving in a way that he saw promise was something that was worth investing. And so I felt like, gosh, this is something that I could emulate as I move forward. And it's funny, in my 20s, I don't think I was nearly the leader. In fact, if I look back, I just didn't have my act together. I thought I was, but man, I made so many mistakes with it. And now looking back, you know, I can see that my dad was really a very key factor in doing that. Definitely. And then as I moved on to several other different careers, Gary Wright here in town was my general manager as I was sales manager here at WKAN for many years. And he and I were a very good team. We did a lot of fun things together. And Gary allowed for the brilliance that I had in certain elements to shine and kind of diminished some of the things that I had as baggage and allowed for the brilliance to really work its wonders amongst the sales staff and who we had on staff. So I think those two really were the most influential going forward.
That's awesome. And I think about how much I teach and train about strengths. And it sounds like both your father and your first boss there that you referenced understood, like, let's magnify the things you're already gifted at and that you have a natural knack for. And we can compensate for the areas that are maybe not your best things, but to that investment, I love that aspect of investment that you talk about with your dad. He's like, Hey, I'll put the money down, but there's still that accountability of pay it off and earn your keep. But he believed in you and said, you're worth a $2,000 risk, basically.
That's exactly right.
Way of saying it.
You know, and not necessarily from just a parent-child relationship, but I think now that I've looked back at that lesson, I think I've taken that forward and saying, what should I invest in people?
Right.
What time should it make sense for me to put into someone? How should I allow them to fail so that they can feel as though they've matured in the process? So
I love that. I love that. I think our dads would have been friends because there was a venture I was interested in my 20s. And he said, well, if you really want to do that, I'll front the money for you.
Wow.
So that one rang a bell.
and it's funny how that things have come full circle. My son, my oldest son, who's now 32, has begun an aerial photography business for real estate in the Myrtle Beach area.
Oh, wow.
And came to us, much as my dad had me come to him. And so I was able to actually do that very same thing for him that my dad did.
Isn't that fun?
So it was the best.
And that's the beauty of gifts, really. I mean, I guess they weren't a gift because you did have to pay them back, but it was a gift that you say, I confront you for that because I believe you're going to be successful.
And the funny thing is, the first part of the year, he said, Dad, I can finally pay you back this year. And we had no intention necessarily of that. And if it were to continue on, we'd be just fine with that. But he feels as though there's an obligation on his part. And so once again, you instill the right values. And
that's right. I was going to say good parenting for him to say, at a girl, yay, Bill and Sherry. Yeah. For them to say, I want to take care of that commitment because you trusted and invested in me. And I've returned that investment and here's your original money back. I love that. I love that. So, as we think about the leaders that you talked about and some of those traits, you mentioned people investing in you, your parents, would there be other aspects you would say, hey, here in my sales career with WKN or wherever, here's some added attributes that I saw in some of the leaders around me that I really try to reflect myself?
Well, I was hired my very first gig with the sports sales end of what I do. And for those who don't know, I am a sales trainer for the ticket sales departments of professional sports teams, which I'm blessed to be able to do. Yeah. Began in 2004 with a gentleman by the name of Dave Dowd, who gave me what I would consider a break. I was an unproven, untested entity who I had been referred to by another individual from the White Sox who actually has joint ownership with the Bulls and the Sox. Mm-hmm. And he was looking for someone new. He was willing to take a risk on someone the NBA hasn't necessarily seen or been proven with. Mm-hmm. And I proved myself enough to where I was the longtime trainer for them for nearly 20 years.
I love that.
And so but along the way, I made a few mistakes with Dave.
Oh, I sure have.
I promoted the fact that I was working for the Bulls and really didn't give attribution and permission for that. And I got slapped on the hand saying, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, don't do that.
But God bless Dave for not saying, I'm never hiring you again.
Yeah.
He said, look, this is not what we agreed to.
Okay, this is not okay.
Please take this down, and we're okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's big, man.
At any time, he could have easily said, I'm never working with you
again. Well, there you go. Yeah.
And so what I think I've taken away from so much of what Dave and I have been able to do together is that any mistake someone makes, whether egregious, premeditated or not, is deserving of forgiveness. Yeah. And of weighing the value of saying, I get it, let's move on from you're never working for me again.
Right.
And I've taken that forward as well. And Dave may never know the value of what he's done for me along the lines. He's still there at the Bulls and we're still very good friends today.
Yeah. And he thought enough of you and what you had done to say, hey, let's course correct a little bit. Here's something that's not okay. But to, again, grace and learning and forgiveness to just go, hey, we were all new at something.
Yeah, that's right.
Every point in our life, right?
And I think one other element of that I learned from that is Dave never made that a spectacle. He did not bring that to light for everyone to understand, oh, look what Bill did.
Right.
It was between the two of us and remains today between the two of us. And had we not been talking about it, we probably would never know it again. So thank you, Dave, secret for keeping that under your hat for so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's powerful because as you were describing it, I thought that's mentoring at its best to me is there's value in the relationship, but there needs to be correction now and then to say, let's take a different approach at that, or let's pause the brakes on that. Let's do this differently. And here's why.
Yeah.
But you know, to do that in a way that's affirming and then to say, we're good.
Yeah.
Because you had good reason to think, oh boy, did I just cross a bridge and this door's going to close.
And so many others have done similar things, I'm sure. And it's meant their relationship was ending.
Yep.
And not with this particular individual. And I have carried that forward and paid it forward, I suppose, in making sure that I do the same thing.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting how when someone extends grace to us, it's so much easier to pass it on to someone else And then share with them that, you know, I've made mistakes before and someone was forgiving and graceful with me. So manifest that in our own heart. Yeah. We just want to pass that on to other people, just like investments of real dollars.
No, you're right.
It's huge investment.
It's hard not to be spiritual about that, but there's certainly an enormous component that comes into play with it.
It really is. I mean, grace is, we all need it. In a million different ways in our lives. And so I love those stories of how, you know, lessons learned along the way. So to have those kind of people investing in you and providing correction at times when it's needed, you know, younger Bill Gertien obviously had some experiences along the way. And so one of the ones that we like to talk about is like, what would you tell 25-year-old Bill now? Might be some of those things along with others to say, make sure you remember this.
Well, first I'd tell him to invest in a better wardrobe.
Yeah.
I wore the funkiest clothes.
I can picture that. I don't know why.
I thought I was so cool picking out these things. And I have no idea how my wife, Sherry, picked me out and said, gee, this is a guy I want to be with.
That's my man right there.
But I would have been far more professional in my dress, I think. I would also have told myself, don't be so cocky. Mm. Yeah. You know, there is the thing that I have used, the term that I use is the curse of the gifted.
Yeah.
And it has to do with people that have many special gifts and abilities and talents that they mistakenly think are almost entitlements or abilities now for you to just not necessarily care what everybody else thinks. You're just going to do what you do.
Right.
And
right.
And so I think sometimes, and I've been guilty of this, my 25-year-old self, in believing that simply because talent was present, that somehow it belied some of the other rules of etiquette or rules of being able to do business in the right ways with others. And I'm sure I rubbed some people the wrong way.
I know I did. Yeah, for the same reason.
I sat after a bridal show that we had done many years ago for WKAN with our program manager at the time, Larry Tempe. It was after the show was a success. We were there at the Bon Vivant Country Club before it burned down. Gorgeous place. If you remember it, it had, it's, you know, if you've been to a bridal show, you know, it's important to have lots of booths and there's a show that takes place with lots of fashions and stuff. And my wife had helped me out on the production of it. And so the two of us together really kind of took this under our own wing. And the station, of course, was involved manpower wise and it went over very well. And Larry and I are sitting on the stairs on Bon Vivant afterwards and we're probably 90% done with cleanup. And I turned to him and said, man, that was a great event. That went really well. And he turned to me. He says, are you kidding me? I said, really? You think that went well? And he chose to take that moment. And for 3 to 5 minutes, which felt like an hour to me, laced into me about how I didn't give any of this up to anyone, that I did it all myself, that I didn't allow others in to help, that it felt like this was something that was just being manipulated by me and that I was essentially the puppet master with everyone else with the marionettes. Totally blindsided.
Ouch.
And I thought, wow, this is something I have to compartmentalize and then really think hard about what it is that I had done. And so as I look forward, that younger self, the thinking that I could do everything doesn't mean you have to do everything or should do everything.
So, yeah. And then as we learn from those lessons, and I had some dress downs from coworkers over the years, like sound pretty familiar like that. And then we realize there's that joy of sharing in that win, of having that broader experience that literally a room of people are going, man, we did that. You did that.
Yeah.
That's really the joy that I didn't know about in, at least in my 20s. I don't want to age that moment for you, but I was in my late 20s when I had an uncomfortable conversation much like that.
Yeah. It's the ability to place your ego aside.
Right.
And allow for others to shine.
Yeah.
And to take joy in others shining that I probably didn't know very well at age 25.
Right.
So
that's why advice to our 25-year-old self is always a good spot. And that's
slap
good
yourself right. upside the head. Yeah. Say, yeah. It ain't all about you.
Yeah. My phrase sometimes is just get over yourself. And I first had to say that to myself.
Yeah.
Because I think that's really at the heart of leadership is involving other people, building a team, and helping everybody share in the wins. And I think that's the heart of the lesson maybe we both had to learn the hard way.
I think you're probably right. And as I moved into entrepreneurship, a sole proprietorship
right,
20 same. Years ago, it was a little bit of an ego talking at that point because I began thinking, well, nobody can do it as good as I can do it. And so I'm just going to go do it myself. And to some extent, I've had the ability to do that, but it has been because of guys like Dave Dowd and the others that have allowed me to flourish and have allowed me to fail mm-hmm. as well. And so yeah. even though it is my own thing or had been my own thing sure. when I hung my shingle out
yeah.
and the talent that I put into it was all me,
yeah.
I needed to have the validation and the recognition that what I was doing was valuable by those people who did have the grace to be able to,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
see the foibles and see beyond them and yeah. see the good that came from yeah. what we do.
Well, man, that's good stuff, Bill. Thanks for joining us again and talking leadership here on Leadership Level Up podcast.
I think every time we talk, it goes in a different direction, but this was fun.
It's okay, man. That's why we don't have this rigid flow of what you have to say or ask, because it's just good stuff when we let people tell their stories. So yeah. thanks for coming.
You're very welcome.
And joining us for this.
My privilege.
We'll do this again.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Leadership Level Up. Please subscribe so you don't miss future conversations with great leaders.
Also, be sure to follow Converge on LinkedIn, Facebook, and @Converge Group LLC on Instagram.